Okay, well, given that you are your soul, given that, and let's say that you get a sudden insight that's really what's going on, then why all the suffering? Well, we already gave you a hint that your suffering may have something to do with freeing you rather than holding you back. And that part of the suffering you go through is really an attempt to give you added incentive, added movement, added freedom to do and accomplish what you need to accomplish. Now, I don't know, you know, about you, but I certainly know about myself. Here I am talking to you on these audio CDs, telling you about stuff, and you're listening to me, and I presume you kind of like the way I talk or like the way I present stuff, and you don't mind listening to my voice, I guess, I would think. But I got to tell you something about me. When I was a kid, between the ages of 8 and 10, I suffered from a very, very bad case of psychological stammering. In other words, I was a stammerer, stutterer. I mean, I could not speak. And that, to me, was a terrible hurdle. I mean, can you imagine going to school and being afraid to get up in class to even read or answer a question because you know you're going to stammer and kids are going to make fun of you? And that's what my life was like as a child. Now, listen to me now. Now, you wouldn't know it that I'm a stammerer. You wouldn't know it at all because it's like I needed to stammer in order to speak. If I didn't stammer, I wouldn't be able to speak. And I look at athletes who have overcome tremendous hurdles to reach wherever they've reached. And it seems to me the ones that reach the highest pinnacles, the ones that really make it, are the ones that have had to go through just the opposite of reaching pinnacles. They had to go into the depths. They had to really work through stuff to get to where they're going. And the working through stuff seems to be just exactly what was talked about before, the burning away, the hell world that you need to go through to get to heaven. So to get to the top floor of the building, you got to go to the bottommost bottom floor of the basement of your building. And that really is the direct route. The elevator going up ain't. Elevators going up just, they give you the illusion of what it is to be successful. But being successful really means knowing what you're doing and doing it. And that requires this kind of special ability. It requires, the way I see it, getting in touch with your soul. So let's talk a little bit more about this thing we call suffering. It turns out that quantum physics has something to say about this. Remember now that in quantum physics, the thing which really brings this to bear, this effect that you can have on the world, this idea of being able to create reality, is something which is called the observer effect in quantum physics. Now, what does that mean? It means that simply paying attention to something can change it. Whoa. Simply paying attention to something can change it. Just noticing it is enough to change it. Now you might think, well, that may be okay for subatomic particles, but what about real life? Well, let me tell you something. Do you pay attention to your spouse every morning? Or are you too busy reading the newspaper? Or too busy walking? Or too busy waking? Or too busy doing your thing, whatever your thing happens to be? Or do you pay attention to your kids? Or are you too busy waking, walking, doing your thing in the morning, and don't bother me because I'm not even alive yet kind of thing? Or do you pay attention? If you start paying attention to your kids, just simply noticing that they're there, it will change them. Start paying attention to your wife, just noticing that she's there, she'll change. In fact, as you begin to pay attention to the world around you, the objects around you will actually begin to radiate back to you a rather strange essence. It's the essence of soul that's present in all things. Because what you're doing by paying attention is awakening your soul awareness in all things. As you pay attention to them, they pay attention to you. It's a two-way street. And this works wherever you go. So if you can learn to pay attention to things, you can see the effect of the observer on reality. It brings it alive. The observer is not a passive thing. It plays a unique role. And the role you bring to bear depends on what you believe and how you think about what you believe is out there. So if you begin to believe that things are mostly inanimate, dead stuff out there, then what happens is that they respond to you as mostly inanimate, dead stuff out there. If you believe your wife is, you know, or your spouse is a dumpy, lumpy, dumb, blah, 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 and I've been married to him or her too long and blah, 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 then she or he will respond to you as a dumpy, lumpy, blah, 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 and thinking I've been married to him or her too long, blah, 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 and the world responds to you as you put your creative, magical impulse out into it. In other words, what we're saying here is you don't have to live like you live in. You don't have to believe what you believe. In fact, there is no out there until there's an in here, trying to see and making up its mind about what is that stuff that's out there, because it ain't what it appears to be, because what it appears to be is what you've decided it should be. And boy, we got a lot of shoulds going for us, right? It's those shoulds which create the universe in exactly the way it appears to us. Paramahansa Yogananda stated that the only reason we lack bliss, the only reason we suffer, is because we identify with the suffering, the transitoriness, the bleakness, the restlessness of that kind of position. And when we do that, we're always seeking happiness. You might call it, remember I talked to you about dancing on the edge of chaos? You might look at it as, you know, I want to dance on the edge of chaos from the chaotic point of view, looking towards heaven as being where I'm going to do my best. I'm going to make more money next year. I'm going to get married to a more beautiful person next year. I'm going to be stronger next year. I'm going to stop smoking next year. I'm going to do more next year. And in other words, I'm in a place right now where all I can look to is what's going to happen to me next, because where it is right now is pretty dismal. That's the suffering. That's the kind of suffering that all of us seems to get into. Now, the way that works from a quantum mechanical kind of point of view is there are two streams which work at this sub-real realm, this realm of the imaginal, this realm that I talked to you about in the first session, the realm of your spiritual elephant. And there's streaming going on down there. There's patterning going on down there. And you are influencing that patterning. And what you're doing is you're sending patternings of wishes into the future. And the various futures are sending their patterns back. And these are continually washing against each other. And this is what gives you this sense of your purpose, a sense of where and what you're doing and where you're going. It's also what's responsible for our evolution. It's responsible for novelty. It's responsible for why it is that things mutate at all. Because if there wasn't the dream of the future coming back into the present, there wouldn't be any possibility of the present ever creating a something new in the future.